How many of you seen a house like this? Yeah, most all of us have. This was a week ago, and unfortunately, from a trash standpoint, not much has changed from a debris collection standpoint. Just yesterday, in one of the hardest hit neighborhoods behind Creech Elementary, the situation is the same. The debris is still on the streets. Moving trucks are arriving as people go to temporary housing. They're packing up their belongings and moving to a place for temporary housing. So we're still in this phase. We're in this long process of recovery. And you guys are in it yourselves. You've been tearing down houses and going through this whole process. And yet, through it all, schools, society, our jobs, they're calling us back. They're calling us to get back to work, to get back to school, to return to a sense of normalcy and a routine. Now, they're being understanding. This last week, many of us were flooded out of our homes, teachers were instructed not to give our students any major tests. And did that hold true, junior hires and high schoolers? No? Okay. Well, they were supposed to not give you any major tests, but sounds like some people did not obey the district directive. Bosses and supervisors were being understanding, gave some of us days off of work so that we could continue to clean up our houses, meet with insurance agents. Some companies even sent out a team of workers to help a co-worker whose house was just able to be gotten into this last week. And so, thankfully, there is understanding and sympathy from society and from our teachers and from our supervisors. At the same time, teachers and companies realize that there is still a job to do. And so they're trying to walk that dual path of focusing on recovery, but also getting on with the job. There is an understanding that sometimes a return to a routine, a return to a sense of normalcy, can actually be therapeutic. It helps sometimes when we've suffered so much to get back to a regular lifestyle, to focus on a task, to focus on a job, to take our minds off of the destruction. And so this is the dual path that a lot of our schools and companies are trying to walk. Well, in the church, we do something similar. But we actually try to do something better. We also are focusing a lot on healing and recovery and recuperation. And at the same time, we are still continuing on with the mission that God has given us. We too want to return to a sense of normalcy. But actually, in Jesus, we can do something better. We want to see if we can recover to something not just as good as before, but could it be even better? And in Christ, this is possible. And as we start our new sermon series, we're going to be looking into the book of Colossians. And in Colossians, a main theme that we have, or the main theme, is the supremacy or the superiority of Jesus Christ. And so it's fitting that as we're in this process of recovery, we can look to not only to return to something as good as before, but could we possibly go deeper? And can we return to something even better? If so, how can we do that? Well, this morning I'd like to start us off with our whole theme of Colossians as we look at the first chapter in Colossians. And so if you'll turn with me there, if you have your Bibles, we're gonna find some encouragement. We're going to find some comfort as we seek to recover to something supreme, to something superior. So looking at Colossians, starting off with chapter 1, verse 1, Paul tells us, it's a book written by Paul, and he writes, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae." Paul is our author. He's an apostle, which means that he was made a special agent of God to be the testifier and witness for Jesus, having seen the risen Christ. And he was given special authority. Ephesians 2:20 tells us that the foundation of the church was built upon the apostles and prophets to both give authorization that what was written was Scripture, or to actually write Scripture itself. And this was all done by the specific will of God. Timothy is probably mentioned here because he was a colleague, a co-worker in Paul's ministry. And it was written to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. So everything is focused and centered around Jesus Christ. Paul wrote this letter because of Jesus. The Colossians received this letter because they were also in Christ. So the whole focus here at the beginning is on Jesus Christ. Now, Colossae was in ancient Asia, and Colossae, it was about 100 miles east of Ephesus. It's in modern-day Turkey. It's surrounded by two other major cities, Laodicea and Hierapolis, along the Lycus River. And so this is called the Lycus River Valley. Lycus River is a tributary of the Meander River. And we see these two other cities mentioned in chapter 4. Now today, Colossae is not much of a city. And if you look it up on Google Maps, this is something of what you'll get. It's in modern Turkey, and it's not much of a town these days. It's actually been deserted for several centuries. But this is to whom Paul is writing, and again, the focus is all on Christ. The very fact that they're receiving this letter is because of Jesus. Well, Paul continues this focus on Jesus, he continues this focus on God, but he moves to the first person of the Trinity as he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father." And so this is the traditional salutation, the traditional greeting by Paul. It's found in almost all of his letters. But again, it's a focus on God. And so Paul, from the very start, he wants to put the focus on God for the Colossians. And he wants the Colossians to make sure that they are putting God and Jesus at the very top and at the very center of all that they do. And so for us today, as we're seeking to recover to something that's not only normal, but to something that is better, I want to encourage and I want to challenge all of us to keep our focus on God, to keep our worship on God, to draw upon Him and to keep running to Him, specifically to draw upon Him for His unmerited favor, for His abundant grace and to draw upon Him for that grace and peace. Peace, probably that Old Testament word of shalom, peace, of peace from our enemies. But here, it's peace with God. From the enemies of the demonic world. And so draw upon that. And if I can just give one encouragement to us as we seek to recover to something better, I want to encourage us to pour out our hearts to God, especially to those of us who have suffered great loss, to be honest with God of what we're experiencing, of what we're feeling, of what we're going through. You might feel anger. You might feel sadness or depression. You might feel guilt. Oh, why did we have to choose this house to buy? Yeah, all kinds of emotions and feelings and thoughts might come up and well up within you. And I just want to encourage you as we seek to recover to something better to be honest with God. He can take it. He can handle it. And let me also encourage you to take your time. To take your time. It doesn't have to be tomorrow or today that everything's going to be all nice and rosy internally. But it could be a process as you work through the grief, the mourning, the emotions. And for the rest of us, can I encourage those of us who have not experienced this kind of loss to give people time to recover and to pour out, work through all of this with God. And as a general encouragement in counseling and in comforting and encouraging others, some things not to say, to be careful to say is, are you okay now? Are you okay now? And there's a time to say that. Okay, but we have to give our brothers and sisters some time to pour this out with God. Maybe another phrase that may not be that helpful is, it's not that bad. Oh, it's not that bad. Have you heard that? Now, it's better if the person can figure that out themselves. Oh, it's not as bad as so-and-so, right? So just, let's just take our time as we return to something better. God can handle it. He can handle the full range of emotions that we're experiencing. Isn't that what Hebrews 4, 14 to 16 tells us? Is that we have a high priest who is not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. And then verse 16, let us draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, pour out your heart to the God of grace. How can we recover to something better? Pour out your heart to the God of grace. Now, we want to keep the focus on God and keep praising Him. And one way that we can praise God and keep our anchor in Him is to thank Him and praise God for others, for fellow believers. And Paul does this as he moves, keeps the focus on God, but we move into verses 3 and 4. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Pour out your heart to the God of grace. Praise God for fellow believers. Praise God for fellow believers. And let me just... Here, he's specifically thanking God for two things, and he does this in all of his letters, their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love that they have for all the saints. And so, We too, as we seek to recover, let's keep thanking God. Let's praise God. And when we thank Him for others, for their faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to thank God for many of you. You've demonstrated a faith in Jesus Christ through all of this. That's different from others. And you've shown that you, through this experience, you have a faith in Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that. And also, we thank God for the outpouring of love that we've seen through this experience. And many of our hearts has been touched, has been moved by people who have cooked food for us, for people who've watched our children. You've opened up your houses and housed people. You've gone in and torn down sheetrock and taken out insulation. So we thank God. We thank God for the love that's been shown. And as you continue to move through this recovery process, let me encourage you to keep drawing upon the grace of God through other believers. Don't be bashful about continuing to receive help. If you need help, let us know. And if we're too busy, we'll let you know. But continue to draw upon the body of believers as we seek to recover. Additionally, in addition to pouring out your heart to God, can I also encourage you to share your heart with another believer? Definitely, we want to be having that open, full disclosure relationship with God and setting aside time to do that. But as Randall taught us Friday night, guys, what did he teach us Friday night? We're a communal people, right? We are built for community. Okay, I'm giving you a major test. I'm not following KDISD directives, okay? We, just like the Trinity, we're a communal people. And so not only share your heart with the Lord, but talk to another person. Talk to a fellow believer. Talk to the pastor. Talk to a spiritual mentor. It's even worthy to talk to a counselor. Some of the trauma that you're experiencing is helpful to talk it out with another person. So praise God for fellow believers and pour out or share your heart with another believer as well. Now moving on, verses 5 through 8. Paul continues. He thanks them for their faith and love because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Friends, we want to pour out our hearts to God, the God of grace. We want to praise God for fellow believers. And also, we want to persevere in and proclaim the gospel of hope. Persevere in and proclaim the gospel of hope. We see this in verses 5 through 8. How can we recover to something better? Persevere in the gospel of hope. Now, we can do this because we know that the gospel is the source. It's the source of that triad that we so regularly see in Christendom of faith, hope, and love. Here in verse 5, Paul tells us that he thanks them for their faith and hope because of faith and love because of the hope. So here in Colossians, hope is the basis. It's the source for faith and love. So that's why, one of the reasons we can persevere in it. Also, it's secure. The hope in the gospel is secure. Look there, it says that it's a hope. It's laid up for us in heaven. You know, houses can be taken away from us. Our own lives can be taken away from us. But our relationship with Jesus can never be taken away from us. It's secure. It's laid up for us in heaven. And so we can persevere in it. Also, it's sure or true. Look again. It says that in verse 5, it's the word of truth. And then at the end of verse 6, it says, you understood the grace of God in truth. And, you know, at this time, people are going to be saying, oh, having faith in a higher power, having faith in something really helps. The Bible doesn't completely agree with that. It has to be grounded in truth. It has to be grounded in reality. We don't want to run off and just pray to any spiritist activity or religious activity or start bowing down to idols or to find our refuge in alcohol or work or some other comfort. Persevere in the gospel because it's the gospel of truth. And sorry, but to keep it with the S, I had to go to Mandarin. It's also worldwide, or Chuan Shijia, okay? That means throughout the whole world. As some of us have come to a point, and we're going to be moving through stages of victim to survivor, and then to thriver. And you can actually move through these stages. And for some of us, we're not only going to persevere in the gospel, but we're going to go on the offensive, if you will, and we're going to start to proclaim the gospel. And some of you have already been doing that on your Facebook pages. As you share the experiences, you testify to God and you give praise to God. And as believers come and help you, you tell your friends, these are followers of Jesus who are helping us. And so you're proclaiming the gospel. Now, you may know that this natural disaster has been happening all throughout the world, and that, in fact, in South Asia, they also experienced monsoon floods in the month of August, which deteriorated their houses, which, of course, are less in quality than what we have in the Western world. And 1,400 people have died, reports say, in South Asia, India, Pakistan, Nepal, Bangladesh. Again, we don't want to be... Everybody's experience of loss and mourning and grief is real. But just to give some perspective, thank God that here in Texas, the estimates are that about 70 people have died because of Hurricane Harvey, right? Whereas the monsoons in South India, over 1,400. But I want to let you know that just as it says that the gospel is going forth in South India and people are sharing the love of Christ in very real and material ways, but they're also proclaiming the gospel. And so the gospel is going forth all throughout the world. The gospel also sanctifies, and it also is sent. See there, it says it's going out through the whole world, bearing fruit and increasing in verse 6, but it says it also does it among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. It's bringing sanctification to you, the gospel. And this gospel was sent. It came to them through Epaphras, our beloved servant. He probably went to Ephesus, heard the gospel there, and then returned to Colossae and planted the church, preached the gospel. So, persevere in the gospel. Don't turn to some other substance. Don't turn to some other idol at this time. And if, as God moves you through, take advantage to proclaim the gospel. Friends, you know, as we go through this, I have to share that, you know, as people think about their contractors, it brings back to my mind the contractor that we had for our house just a year ago when we moved into our new house. And this is all over GoFundMe and all. And the contractor for our house was Mr. Flores. And after, it was about a year ago in August, this day, that he finished doing renovations on our house. But just a month later, he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And the cancer spread to his brain. And every time I walk through my house, I think of Mr. Flores. And he got radiation. He had treatment for his cancer. Okay. Unfortunately, this last June, he passed away. But praise the Lord that in that process, I was able to visit him in the hospital and confirm and share with him that he had trusted in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And as a result, we can have the comfort that he has an eternal home in heaven. So friends, let us persevere and proclaim the gospel. Lastly, verses 9 through 14, let's read this. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Pour out your hearts. Praise God for fellow believers. Persevere in the gospel and proclaim the gospel of hope. And lastly, pray for yourself and others. Pray for yourself and others. How can we recover to something superior, to something better? Pray for yourself and others. Now, let me just ask you, how many of you have ever prayed these biblical prayers for yourself? These prayers in the Bible, like right here in Colossians or Ephesians or Philippians. How many of you have ever prayed those prayers for yourself? Can you raise your hand? All right. Praise God. Good. Now, I saw a lot of hands that didn't go up. So I want to encourage you, if you have never prayed these biblical prayers for yourself or for others, start praying those prayers for yourself. And so right here, just pray this prayer for yourself. Now, there's a couple of aspects here. Praying for knowledge. Knowledge of His will. Now, I don't think that there in verse 9 it's talking about the specific will of God. I think it's talking more about the moral will of God. So it's not so much, oh God, please help us to know whether we should buy this carpet or buy this tile. I mean, it's okay to pray that. But I think what we're talking about when we're saying pray for the knowledge of His will is pray for God to give you guidance and direction on how or the process of making these decisions. So help us to be loving. Help us to be understanding. Help us to be patient. Help us to communicate well is more of what we want to be praying for. Okay? So praying for the moral will of God as opposed to what is it, that specific will. Also, obedience. Pray that once we know it, that we will obey and be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual. Pray those biblical, pray that you can proceed biblically, okay? But not just so you can know it. True wisdom is to, verse 10, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in Him, so that it will flesh itself out and we can obey. And all right? For the power to carry forth. Sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. It's hard to listen and be understanding and be empathetic. And so we need, verse 11, being strengthened is being empowered. It's this dunamis. Being empowered with all power according to His glorious might. We need God's help to help us to proceed in obedience. And then the endurance, it's going to get tiring. We need God's strength. Verse 11, for all endurance and patience with joy. So I tried to make it like Kobe, because that's a good way to remember Kobe. You know, he was a basketball player, but Kobe, okay, Kobe. Knowledge, obedience, power, endurance. These are things you need to be praying for yourself as you recover. And we need to be praying that for our people. And then lastly, this doesn't just gratitude, okay? It doesn't add Kopi-G, okay? Kopi-G, whatever. As we saw, to giving thanks. Pray that we can have grateful hearts through this process. Not necessarily because of the material or physical blessings, but because of all that we have in Christ, as it tells us in verse 12, 13, and 14. So, friends, let me encourage you. It's going to be a process. We're in it for the long haul. But as we seek to recover, as we seek to return, as we seek to repair, we don't just have to get back to the place where we were before. Crisis, trauma, tragedy can actually be an opportunity to go deeper and to get back to something better in our walks with God and in our relationships with others. There was a man who, in the Middle East, who he had a lot of cattle and a lot of donkeys, and he had many children. But through a series of natural disasters, and some vandals, he lost it all. He lost all his property, and he lost all 10 of his children. And people were criticizing him and mocking him and saying, what was it in your relationship with God that brought this calamity and this disaster upon you? Well, he hung in there with God, and then at the end, God blessed him even more, and he got back double the amount of cattle and donkeys, and he got back 10 children. You may know that the person I'm talking about is Job from the Old Testament. And friends, as we go through this process, let us call upon the Lord to recover to something that is superior because of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for your word. And Lord, our hearts are still heavy as we know that there is quite a bit to go through. But we thank you, Lord, for all that we have in Christ. And we thank you for the redemption that we have in Him. So please help us as we move through this to pour out our hearts to you, to thank you for fellow brothers and sisters, to persevere and proclaim, and to just pray for ourselves and others. In Jesus' name. Come on up, and we'll
have a song of response.